Grace and peace to you from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. With great power comes great responsibility. With these words, Uncle Ben imparted Peter Parker with the wisdom that he would need to become the amazing Spider-Man. They taught Peter that it was not right for him to use his superpowers for selfish gain, but instead to use them in service to others and to protect his city. In a similar way, pastors are called to serve their sheep and guard their flock. Now I don't have enhanced strength, speed, or reflexes, spidey senses, or the ability to web sling, but I do have the power of God's word. And just like Spider-Man, I am not called to wield this great authority for my own sake, but for the sake of those that God has entrusted to me. I am to wield it for you. The author of Hebrews writes, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account." Our instinct might be to shrink back from these verses, for we don't like being told what to do or to believe, not by God, especially when we are full of our sin, but especially not by another human creature. And for a pastor who seeks to be faithful in his calling, these are not easy words to utter, lest he appear to be exalting himself over the very people he is called to serve. Even so, they are important words to discuss, weighty words to be addressed. So hear this. Both Pastor Copley and myself, we have been placed here at St. Peter's Lutheran Church as pastors by God for your sake. The reason we have been given this great authority and power of God's word is twofold. First, we have been given the authority of God's word in order to bring the repentant sinner the promises of God. We have been given the authority by Christ to comfort you through the preaching of the gospel, to forgive you your sins, to remind you of your salvation through your fellowship with Christ. We have been called by Christ to stand in his place so that when you hear the words of promise on our lips, you may know without a doubt that it is as if Christ himself were speaking to you. The second reason we have been given this great power and authority of God's word, however, is to bring you to repentance in order to keep you in that saving fellowship. And this is the hard part where pastors have to wield the authority of God's law. Like Spider-Man facing down Doc Ock or Sandman, pastors have to face down Satan and the world in order to protect the flock that has been entrusted to him by Christ. But it's much easier to take punches from the known enemies of Christ and his church than to take punches from within the fellowship of the brotherhood. As Christians in this life, we are at the same time both saint and sinner. And Christ has given authority to pastors in order to slay that sin that threatens to destroy his people from within. But sin is a ruthless thing and does not die easily. When threatened by the law, sin can lead people to do some pretty ugly things. The blows that Satan and the world land do not compare to the sucker punches that a pastor can receive from the congregation he is called to serve. Now, to be clear, I am not preaching on this because of a particular person or situation within our congregation. I am not preaching on this as a response to something happening right now. Nor am I declaring to you by any means that this is a bad congregation. Quite the contrary. If it were a particular person or situation, I'm not sure I would have the strength to preach on such a topic today. No, I'm preaching this now because it is an important thing to preach on for the sake of the gospel, yet it often goes unheard. When a pastor discharges the responsibilities of his office and wields the authority of God's word, it is not because he is on a power trip or being judgmental. At least, not if the pastor is seeking to be faithful to the Lord and his call. Pastors do not desire the harm of the sheep in their care, but they take those words to heart. They are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Not only does a pastor who is seeking to be faithful know his place in creation under God's authority, but he goes about his task watching over your soul with a proper fear of the Lord, knowing one day he will have to give an account to God for all that he has said and done in this most precious task. As God told Ezekiel, "Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. If I say to the wicked, 'You shall surely die,' and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his way in order to save his life, that wicked person shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Again, if a righteous person turns from his righteousness and commits injustice, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. But because you have not warned him, he shall die for his sins, and his righteous deeds he has done shall not be remembered, but his blood I will require at your hand." God has given you a pastor to care for you, to serve you, to love you, and to keep you in the faith, even sometimes in spite of yourself. This includes wielding the authority of God's word to bring you the truth of Christ. But God does not leave pastors to go around unbounded to do and say as they please, for pastors are not to serve themselves. Instead, God reminds them with this heavy word, with that great power comes great responsibility. Those who are given the power and authority of his word are held to a higher standard and will have to give an account before God of all that they say and do in the office he has given them. So as a pastor goes about his task, given by God to care for and keep you, he does so knowing that he will one day have to stand before the Lord and give answer to all that he has said to you and all that he has done in the name of the Lord. This is constantly on his heart and his mind in everything he does in his task. For a pastor is called to lead the congregation entrusted to him in the truth of Christ through all things. Through the hymns that we sing together, through the liturgy that we pray together, through his preaching and teaching and his administering of baptism and the Lord's Supper. He does none of this out of his own accord or selfish thought in order to share his opinion or impose his will. But all this he does in order to keep you in the faith as one who is responsible for what happens to you. And so he does his best to guard the deposit of faith that has been entrusted to him and to you. And that means that sometimes he must use God's law to protect you from being led astray by diverse and strange teachings. That is, those teachings that have nothing to do with Christ and do not belong to him. For such teachings do not benefit those who eat and drink from them, but harm them like a poison from within. Instead, it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection for our salvation, and all that he testifies to. So as a pastor must watch over this confession of the church carefully and zealously. And if our faith is true and sincere, then we must put away all things that are not of Christ and have no part in him. That is what a pastor does when he directs guides, leads, and uses the authority of God's word. That is why a pastor keeps those from our altar who do not share in our fellowship, who practice in diverse and strange teachings, even though they be called by the name of Christian. They have no right to eat at our altar, from which we receive heavenly food, the very body and blood of Christ with whom we fellowship with at this altar and in whom we are saved. A pastor does this to protect you and your faith and the confession of faith of this congregation for all who need to hear the truth. He does so as one who has to give an account before God. Thus, the author of Hebrews exhorts you to obey your leaders and submit to them, not for their sake, but for yours. For their task is to serve and protect you. Remember that the next time a pastor says or does something that you don't particularly like. Let them do their task with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Pastors are not perfect, but we try our best with the help of the Holy Spirit out of love for you to keep your soul. So please, forgive, encourage, and uplift your pastors in order to make the task of being your pastors a delightful one. For I truly do give thanks to God that He has allowed me to be called your pastor. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.